The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks some of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the dominion of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the dominion of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the dominion of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I remember a game that I used to play when I was a camp counselor at Luther Heights Bible Camp. And it was a game that I would play usually with the kids when we were kind of in between activities or kind of as a get-to-know-you activity. And it consisted of getting the kids and myself as counselor in a big circle and start off by saying, "I'm holding a little ball of light. And this is a very, very important ball. And I'm going to pass this ball around to all of you. And all of you are going to get the chance to hold this ball of light. Make sure you don't drop it. But, you know, just feel what it feels like. What does it feel like to hold the ball of light? You know, play with it. Maybe kind of toss it up and down a little bit. Do some moves." And then the circle, of course, for the person who was holding this ball of light would mimic the moves as they were creatively coming up with them. And, of course, this got to be very, very interesting with especially kids who were early grade school. And I remember one of the most hilarious things that I've ever seen was playing this game with a first grader who really got into the robot kind of moves with this ball of light. And all of us were mimicking these moves. And he got so into it that he dropped his hands. And all of a sudden, about five kids just start running at this guy and sliding on his stomach to catch the ball of light. And I could see that this kid had this horrified look on his face because he forgot to keep his hands up. And so I, as counselor, had to quick name another camper who caught the ball of light just in time so that the game could go on. I'm sure he's eternally thankful to this. It was the most amazing scene. And, you know, as we read this next part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives in the book of Matthew, I am struck by one of the main pieces of it, and that's light. "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Well, this isn't the only piece of Scripture that deals with light. Isaiah 9, verse 2, famously states, "The people who walk in darkness will," what? see a great light. Psalm 18 reads, "For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness." Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And perhaps most famously, John 1:5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Light is a common symbol in Scripture, but it's still challenging, I think, at least for me, to make sense of it in our time and in our space. How does God's light shine in the darkness? How does God's light shine through me? Or maybe most importantly, what does it mean for me to share the light of Christ with others? Well, throughout history, I think, particularly these verses in Matthew have been interpreted. We got talking about this in the Bible study before worship. It's been interpreted through the light of morality. And what I mean by this is that, you know, moral acts and behavior have been synonymous with bringing the light into the darkness. And there isn't anything wrong with this interpretation in itself. But what it starts to do, I think, is to lead the church and its institutions in determining who is properly in the light and through their behavior and moral grounds, and who is in the darkness that by behavior is not deemed appropriate. And this interpretation and a belief in a new morality, I think, really came to light in the 17th century with the settling of the New World, and continued in the 18th and 19th centuries with westward expansion that, of course, includes our own state of Montana. Sharing the light of Christ became instructions for proper behavior that social and institutional structures dictated in a lot of ways. The light was our moral compass, our lamp that was hoisted high on the ship that was guiding it through the fog. And again, you know, I do think that morality and behavior is in part what it means to spread the light of Christ. It is important as a church to model and encourage behavior as Jesus Christ behaves. But is this the only way to see light? I also think that when behavior and morality become the only thing that the church does in spreading the light kind of becomes something a little bit on high, something on the mountain, something that is separated between us and the heavens. And it gets a little bit problematic sometimes. We see all kinds of problems when the light gets too high and becomes a judgment instead of love. We see problems like sexual misconduct by pastors and priests, or church institutions claiming the moral high ground and supporting things like Nazism or apartheid or Jim Crow laws. Maybe the light, then, needs to come down a few notches, come down to the ground. Maybe it's time for us in the church to see the light not as something high on the mountain or on the mast of a ship, but more on the ground, more like first graders trying not to drop the imaginary balls of light and being there to support one another. You know, there's historically been a lot of questions by scholars surrounding the Gospel of Matthew's use of the term kingdom, or as I was reading, domain in my translation. And I think that we can see this term as important into how it can lead us into reimagining bringing the light down to earth a little bit. Matthew plays around with this word a lot. Sometimes he uses it when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, or sometimes Jesus just uses it standing alone, just kingdom or domain. And in the Gospel of Matthew, what's happening here is Jesus is contrasting God's kingdom or kingdom of heaven with the kingdom of Rome, the earthly nation. And Jesus goes to great lengths to contrast these two things. Kingdom of Rome is based on a hierarchical structure with Caesar at the top, where kingdom of heaven is based on the least of these. Kingdom of Rome is based on violent militaristic power. Kingdom of heaven is based on peace. Kingdom of Rome is based on intimidation. Kingdom of heaven is based on love. You get the point. What Jesus, I think, is doing here is outlining a new social structure, a new way of living, a new way of relating to one another, a new community, a new relationship. So then, because of this fact, I think a fair reinterpretation, maybe even a fair substitution of this old word kingdom, I'm going to replace it with the word beloved community. Beloved community. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches us to do the same will be called least in the beloved community. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the beloved community. And the interesting thing is, with this beloved community that Jesus talks about and contrasts with, is that this new structure, this new way of relationship, doesn't begin when we die, but starts now. Jesus says in chapter 3, repent, for the beloved community is at hand. As Abby and I have been settling into our new home, we've discovered a lot of different quirks and a lot of different surprises. And we've discovered that our gas-fired water heater is on its last legs. It's about 17 years old. And it's going to need replacement soon. And Abby and I have been kicking around the idea of replacing this water heater with an electric one. One that is a little bit more environmentally sustainable way to heat water. And out of his great generosity, our own Bill Rux came and helped me, has come a few times and helped me kind of think through, okay, well, what does putting in an electric water heater mean? Because I have no idea what putting an electric water heater means. And Bill, in his own right, he's a fantastic electrician, done a lot of electric work in Alaska. And he has come and he just got down into it. He went downstairs into the basement, was crawling around and crunching down in some of the crawl spaces of the house, figuring out where all the old wiring is and maybe where some new wiring is, and brainstorming ways that we could put this new solution in. And of course, our basement is pretty dark, like all basements are. And so Bill needed a flashlight. And so he was crawling around with this light. And you know, for me, not having any idea of how an electric water system would work or how to install one, this flashlight that Bill had was the light of Christ for me. It really was. You know, Bill was modeling for me this beloved community that I think Matthew and Jesus is talking about. It wasn't on some hill high above the people. It was down below in our basement of 1726 Sherwood Street. It was in the crawl space of our old house. And you know, my friends, our church, I think, can be the light of Christ and model beloved community in much the same way. We can be that camp counselor who reminds the first grader that he still has the light, no matter what he does, even if he drops his hands. We can be the dark crawl spaces of people's lives and be in these dark crawl spaces with people and showing them that new relationship is possible. And so because of this, I'm going to try something a little bit new. In a few moments, after singing the hymn after this sermon, I'm going to try a little bit of an experiment, and you're going to be my guinea pigs. I want to try something new that might help us share a little bit more of what the light of Christ means for us. So after the hymn of the day, after this sermon, I want you to take 3 to 5 minutes and turn to somebody. You don't have to get up, but turn to somebody in your pews, preferably somebody you didn't come to church with, though I know that that's not possible all the time. But introduce yourself if you don't know the person sitting right next to you. And I want you, in the 3 to 5 minutes, share with each other two things. The first one is a high of your week. Something that has gone positive, something that you feel proud of, something that went well. And the second thing that I want you to share with this person is a low of your week. Something that was perhaps negative, something that didn't go so well, that didn't go as you planned. And after 5 minutes or so, we'll, of course, continue with the worship, the prayers of the people. And many of you know now the way that we're working the prayers, there's a spot for people to pray. And so I welcome you, if you and your partner, maybe there's somebody that they need prayer for right now, and you're welcome to offer that prayer at that time. And if not, that's okay too. You can go and pray for that person throughout this week, thinking of them in whatever they need and God being with them. And what I hope that this highs and lows experiment time can be for us is a way for our community to anchor our faith in this practice of worship, to witness the light to each other down on the ground. It can be a way for us to practice a new way of beloved community with each other and with the world. So give me your feedback, of course. But I say to you now, may the light of Christ be in you always, and may you find new ways to share that light on the ground with others who really, really need it. Amen.